Today we continue in the series Life-Giving Routines, and I pray that through the course of this series, which will be 4 weeks, this is week two, that we all understand that routines either rob us of life or they give us life. That at the moment of our high or at the moment of our low, that you can probably almost always connect where we are in life, especially emotionally, spiritually, you can connect it to a routine. And what we want to do over the course of this series is make sure that we're looking at routine as something that gives us life, and that the most important routines that we have concern our worship of God. For instance, you can get into a routine of service and application of the word, and life just goes on, and you can get into a routine of not considering that I once was lost, but now I'm found. And so the thanksgiving and the praise and the joy that comes from salvation in Christ Jesus can just fade away. And we get into a routine of looking for that joy and that peace and all of the fire that comes from the gospel that we first heard. We'll start looking for that to come from other things. Relationships and promotions on jobs and a new house and a new car, and we start looking for something else, and it will become a routine. And the very routines that we'll talk about over this series will actually become habits that we form looking for joy to come from something other than the hope of the gospel. So we'll start praying for the new car. We'll start praying for a relationship to heal. We'll start praying for a promotion. We'll start praying for all of these things, looking for all of these things routinely, because prayer is a spiritual thing, but not realizing that joy comes from the Lord. Amen. And so we're going to be looking primarily at Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ teaching on prayer. But I want you to think about this quote that Oswald Chambers gave. He says that when a person is born again from above, the life of the Son of God is born in him. And he can either sar or nourish that life. Prayer is the way that the life of God in us is nourished. It's Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his heart. You can look it up online and just search the whole book for prayer. And look at everything he has to say about prayer. Amazing. So now I want you to know there's too much to be said about prayer to try to cover all of this in one day. So basically I'm going to look at today when it comes to prayer, the unhealthy, non-biblical way that prayer is viewed, and just give some ways that we can look at prayer that really is like, oh, you know what? I can do that. Because most of the time when you hear prayer, the first thing you think about is like, yeah, I probably ain't been praying enough, right? I probably need to be praying a whole lot more. But what if I told you that that's not the answer? Think about it this way. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, so what seems to be the problem? And I say, man, you know I'm having headaches, my blood pressure is high, I keep wanting to fall asleep in the middle of the day, having a hard time sleeping at night, I get tired real easy, I'm bloated, I'm constantly having pains in my abdomen, I don't know. And so the doctor comes back and he says, okay, Aaron, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a notebook and I want you to start you a food journal. And I want you to sit down and every time you eat or drink any anything. I don't care what it is. I want you to just note that, what time of the day it is. And after 10 days, come back and see me, and we're going to go over your journal together. And so I do this, and it's tedious, and it's a new routine that I'm really not used to. And I go back to the doc, and I say, here you go, doc. Here's my food journal for the last 10 days. And he picks it up, and he says, puts his reading glasses on, steps back and unbuttons the top button in his white coat. He says, I noticed that every morning you have a Coke as soon as you get up in the morning. And then after you have your Coke, you have a cup of coffee, a muffin, two pieces of bacon, three eggs. And I noticed that on your 10 o'clock break, you always have a big bag of Cheetos and a Mountain Dew. Ah, and I noticed on your lunch break, you have a can of soup and another muffin and a slice of pizza. And then at your 3 o'clock break, you have another bag of Cheetos and a Mountain Dew. And for dinner, you have a steak, or mostly some heavy meat, canned vegetables, and a slice of cake right before bed with ice cream. Okay, so here's my recommendation. Instead of the two slices of bacon that you have in the morning, I want you to have double that to four. And instead of one muffin, go to two muffins and make them both chocolate chip instead of raisin bran. And instead of one Mountain Dew, two Mountain Dews, and make them both 20 liters. Now, for that 10-minute break that you have, I noticed that this is like a 3-ounce bag of Cheetos. Get the big bag of Cheetos. Get a big bag of Cheetos and another 20-ounce Mountain Dew. Now, on lunch, this is where you can really improve. You can improve on your lunch. Instead of that burger being a double with cheese, get double cheese and make it a triple. Get extra salt on your fries. And don't wait to have ice cream in the evening. Go ahead and get your ice cream cone for lunch, too. Y'all getting the picture now, right? So this is how we can kind of look at prayer. Like, our prayer life is kind of jacked up, but not like, I don't want to pray, but it's really the way you're looking at prayer and the way you're going about prayer is not really even right in the first place. And so you hear prayer and you just think, well, I just need to pray more. Well, it's just like with the diet. It's not necessarily that you just need to add more of the garbage so you can feel better. It's you need to look at what you're eating and change it. So I pray that illustration makes some sense. And so if you look at prayer, what comes to your mind when you do think of prayer? Once you get past, I'm praying enough, man. Once you get past the guilt and the condemnation and the resentment and self-loathing over, I don't pray enough. What then comes to your mind when you think about what prayer actually is? I want to hear from y'all. What is it? Talking with God, having a conversation. What else?
Actually, what's in my heart, how I feel, what I fear.
Mm-hmm. So being open, honest, expressing what's in your heart. Anything else? Come on, y'all. I know y'all thinking. Brother William.
Worshiping God.
Worship, okay.
Being intimate with God.
Intimacy. Alright. Anything else to Sub Z?
That's all right.
Y'all can see the way he's looking at me right now. He's not blinking. Let me see how long he goes without blinking. Wow. Okay. Anybody else? He still hasn't blinked. Huh? Conversation with God? So what if I told you that a big part of the problem how we view prayer with God is partly because we look at prayer with God the same way we use our cell phones. We run into the same problems. We run into ain't no connection because you're in the wrong place. You're in a place where there is no service. Or you got your phone set up on Wi-Fi calling and there's no Wi-Fi where you are. Or you know you ain't paying your bill and you wonder why you can't. You wonder why you can't get a call through. Now, I would connect that to you keep forgetting who paid the price for you to. We can bring the gospel in hard on that one, right? You keep thinking that it's what you're doing that connects you to God, and remember and forgetting that it's Jesus. Okay, let's go on. Or how about you using the wrong platform? You trying to connect with God through Snapchat, Facebook Messenger, Yahoo Messenger. How many of y'all tried to get with somebody old and y'all like, hey, so you got Snapchat? Old people be like, what's Snapchat? Or you have some person come up to you and say, yeah, I sent you a message like 5 times and you never responded. And they pull out their phone and look, I never got any messages from you. Oh, I sent it through MySpace. Some of y'all are too young to even remember what that is. MySpace was before Facebook. So you could be using the wrong platform. Or how about this? This one's gonna be a little serious. How about signal interference? You're talking. And how many times you heard this? You breaking up. I got part of that, but I didn't get it all. We're not connecting, not because we're not connected, but there's interference. There's something that's making this conversation garbled, and you're not understanding me, and I'm not understanding you. You know, we're going to come back to that point, but I want you to just think about it. If you're kind of hearing God and you kind of feel like some of my prayers are going through, but some of them not, and sometimes I'm up and sometimes I feel connected and sometimes I just don't, what could be the interference in the connection? And the last one, some of us just like to just leave God messages. We treat prayer like a message, an answering machine. It's the heaven prayer line. May I help you? This is Gabriel. Yeah, Gabriel, tell God that I'm down here hurting, man, and my car done broke down. I need a better job. And I got some folks that, you know, you don't necessarily have to kill them, but I need them out of my life. In Jesus' name, goodbye. And so if we are looking at prayer, and the way we look at prayer is just, it's not biblical. It is not gospel-centered. It's not like in the heart of what God even intended for us to be connected for. Then prayer, or lack thereof, will be something that you have to deal with as a frustration. You know, and Jesus said, he taught us in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he said, I'm going to teach you this parable so that men are always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. So he wants us to pray and to never give up. Paul teaches us to pray without what? Pray without ceasing. And so if we look at Matthew chapter 5, if you got your Bible open, Matthew chapter 6, starting starting at verse 5, we're going to just go through this passage of Scripture and look at the teachings of Jesus Christ. These are the red letters. And the red letters are the most significant letters. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And we, as Christians, follow Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." One example of this, and this is an age-old pagan tradition, that you remember when Elijah was out there with the false prophets of Baal? And they were out there. He was like, "Yeah, call on your gods." And they were out there cutting themselves and just yelling and sweating and screaming and calling on their gods all day long. That's what Jesus is talking about this. Because that was an ancient pagan tradition. They felt like if they just keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and just keep on keeping on, never stopping to listen, just keep keeping on, that would make them holy and look spiritual. But look at what he says in verse 6. He said, "But when you pray, go into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." Have you ever seen that person who's walking in the Lord, walking by faith, just killing it, and you looking at them saying, "Man, what are they doing? I would love to know, how are they getting, I mean, why do you have peace all the time? Why do you have joy? What are you doing?" And then you can, if you from a distance observe that, you can say, "Well, they go to church, I'll go to church. I always see them reading their Bible, I'll read my Bible more. Man, I always see them serving, I'll serve more." But look at what Jesus says. No, that person that you see, that you're wondering where that joy comes from and that peace and that hope and why that glow is on their face, that's coming from a secret relationship of conversations with a living God. It's not someone who is openly saying, "I pray, yeah, I prayed for 15 hours this morning, man. Yeah, I pray 5 hours every day, on my face, candles lit, toes up and up." Nope, this is a person who says, "My relationship with God is intimate, and it doesn't matter who knows about it, as long as he does." Look at verse 7. He says, "But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen." That goes back to the ancient pagan tradition, as they do. Well, they think that through their much speaking, that they're going to be heard. "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you need before you pray." So I'm going to ask you a question. So then if God knows what we need before we pray, he's omniscient, omnipresent, he knows everything, he's in the all-knowing, all-seeing God, then why do we even need to pray? If you know what I need, why do I need to ask? Have y'all ever asked yourself that question? That's the question. Like, if God knows what I need before I pray, why do I need to pray? I want you to think about it this way. How many of you have been in a relationship and you're thinking to yourself, you're getting ready to go and talk to somebody about something, and before you go and talk to them, you say, "Now I already know what you're going to say. Why are you going to say it?" How many of us have been in a relationship with someone and we really already know something, but we really just want them to tell us? How many of us are parents and we already know what our children need, right? we want our child to come to us and tell us what they need. We already know what's going on with them, but we go and ask them what? So what's going on? Right? We already know what's going on. We know what's bothering them. We can go and say, so is something bothering you? We can watch them go through a hard time and know exactly how that hard time affected them, but for some reason we want to go to them and still say, so how you feel about that? Why do we do that? It's a matter of relationship. It's a matter of a person opening up to you something you desire from them that's not just words that you already know, not just needs that you already know, not just feelings that you already know, but a part of them that you want closer to you. Do you know that God desperately desires that from us? God's not just playing games. He's not just saying, I want you to ask just because, well, I just want you to just talk. In actuality, from the very beginning of time, God has shown us that he wants us to talk to him. He wants to talk to us. And he wants our relationship to be deeply intimate. Why is it so important to know God? I say it all the time. Jesus said, for this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you sent. Eternal life is wrapped up in knowing God. And believe me, talking to God regularly is not how you're known, but it's how he becomes known. Giving an example. You want to learn something, you're a 7-year-old child, and you're just sick of your tricycle. And so you go to your mom or your dad and you say, hey, listen, I've been watching y'all roll for quite a while now. I'm 7 now. And I really think it's time for me to get a car. Now, as a parent, even as a friend, it's like, are you out of your mind? But that request becomes an opportunity for that child to learn something about themselves, to learn something about life in this world, and to learn something about their parent. How much they care for them, how much they love them. And so sometimes we take our request to God and sometimes we don't get an answer right away, and we just feel like, well, I left you a message and I never saw the car, so I just figured you weren't there no more. It's not about a request list. It's about getting to know God. That's what prayer is about. Let's go further. So what happens in our relationships? How many of us, when we finally say something to someone that's been on our hearts, feel that release? How many of us feel when we've gotten something off our back or off our chest, you feel that peace that comes from, I'm glad I told you this, I've been holding it for so long. I'm glad we finally talked about this. Do you see how this is shifting from request list to relationship? How many of us have gotten something off our chest with God, finally told him what's really been there the whole time, and we feel more unified with God? You feel that grace that, you know, you confessed or you shared that you were angry or you were mad or you were hurt, and you realized that God wasn't going to strike you down for sharing that. You felt his grace just come into your heart like a flood and like, oh, it's better for me to share my deepest feelings with God. not just a request list. So here's how Jesus taught us to pray. And I'm just going to go through the prayer. Everybody probably knows the Lord, what's called the Lord's Prayer by heart. But I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to point out some characteristics of personality and attributes that we can gain from it. That after this, I want you to go through the prayer and like look at these things like realistically. Number one, the first part of the Lord's Prayer says what? Our Father. Identity. How many people struggle with identity? My mama wasn't there. My daddy wasn't there. My cousins always told me that I wasn't going to be anyone. My teacher rejected me, or my coach didn't like me. And we were trying to identify with somebody on earth. But Jesus says, no, when you pray, you start off with our Father, which is in heaven. And you can just take all of the attributes of God and put that on that truth alone, and watch how that builds up your identity. This God that created heaven and earth, this God that has the power over all kings and kingdoms, this God who holds eternity in his hand, this God who spoke into darkness and there was light, this God that can take chaos and bring it all into perfect order, this God who draws a line and the sea goes no further, this God who can turn mountains into valleys and valleys into mountains, deserts into streams and streams into deserts. This God is my Father. And he made that happen by his grace through Jesus Christ. I separated myself from my Heavenly Father, but he came and rejoined me to himself through Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven. What's the next part? Hallowed be thy name. A name above every name. That's praise. A name above every name. No other name under heaven by which a man can be saved but Jesus Christ. Yahweh. The next part. Thy kingdom come. Acknowledging the truth. We do know that his kingdom is coming, right? And we do know that in the book of Revelations, it tells us that all of the kings of the earth are going to be gathered together to make war against the king who sits on this white horse. But this white horse was going to slay them with the sword of his mouth and crush every kingdom. And all those kingdoms would become one kingdom belonging to him, and he would deliver that kingdom up to the Father, and that kingdom will come to the earth. Good news, isn't it? How about submission? What's the next part? Thy will be done. Submission. How about praying through that thinking with a heart of submission? Your will be done, Lord. I know how I want this done, but your will be done, Lord. Who do we know? The greatest man to ever walk the earth, the king of all kings, went through the same thing. He got in a jam. He said, Lord, I don't want this will to be done. I want to do it my way. I'm sweating drops of blood here. People are on my heels. I'm getting ready to face doom and death and hell for people who spit in my face and pluck the hairs out of my beard, for people who hit me across my head and called me names and said I had devils, for people who said that they loved me but then ended up betraying me and saying that they don't even know me. I'm getting ready to face something for all of the sins of all of the people in the world, and I don't want to do this. But he said what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. That's an expression of hope. See, if we forget that his kingdom is coming, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we'll lose hope. We'll forget the big picture. We'll have brown, getting us depressed. Flat tire make you fly off the rails. Isn't that true? How about with confession? Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. We owe you, God. Now, this is not debts in the sense of sin. This is debts in, like, really, I owe you. What does John say? He said he laid down his life for us, and therefore we what? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That means he gave us his life, and we owe him ours. Yeah, you can say forgive us our debts and forgive us our sins. How about healing relationships as we forgive our debtors? Man, how many people are walking around bitter with somebody? Listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm on the upward. I'm not completely out of the valley of bitterness. But I've been dealing with some bitterness myself. Embedded so deep in my soul, I didn't realize how it was dictating some things in my life. And there was people I just needed to let go. I don't know who in your life right now you need to, that you could let go of. What in your life? What traumatic situation? What loss? What pain or betrayal? What false accusation? What sin against you personally? So forgive us. And then there's humility. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you know to go to God and say you need is an act of humility? I don't just need you in my big jams, Lord. I need you for things as simple as bread. I take it a step further when it comes to give us this day our daily bread. My daily bread is the wisdom I need, the understanding, the guidance, the strength, the hope, the peace, the faith, the love, the joy. Lord, give me what I need today. You know what I really need to. Because you know what? Just because we go and ask God for what we need doesn't mean we're actually asking for what we really need. Guidance and lead us not into temptation. I'm learning not to leave the house without asking that one. Lord, guide me today. Will you guide me? I don't know which way to go. And then asking him, and this is all in the same vein of humility, when we ask him to deliver us from evil. Saying to him, basically what I'm saying to God when I say deliver me from evil, I'm saying, Lord, I need you to free me from every evil thing that has ever influenced my life or currently influences me today. Deliver me from evil. And evil doesn't always mean that something bad is going to happen. Do you know if you look, do a careful study of the word evil, you will find that it actually means anything that's not the way God planned it. That could be your attitude. And then when he says, for thine is what? The kingdom. For thine is what? The kingdom and for that is a proclamation of what you believe. That's your faith. All these things come together into one thing. It's all about you. And then he seals it all off with even more faith and says, amen. That's basically saying, this is what I believe. This is what you said, and this is what it will be. So as we go out of this place, I want you to look at all of these things. Identity. I'm finding your identity through prayer. God, you're going to shape me and make me who you want me to be. This is why I'm talking to you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to acknowledge the truth. I'm going to be submitted to you. I'm going to keep my hope intact. I'm going to be humble, understanding that you are the one that has forgiven me, and I'm going to forgive other people. I'm not going to let people's wrongdoings against me control my life. And I know that you're going to take all of the stuff that's happened to me or even happening to me, and you're going to deliver me from the way they have shaped my life to be something other than what it's supposed to be. You're going to do that, Lord. I'm going to trust you to do that because you're gracious and merciful, and your mercy endures forever. You are tender-hearted and loving kindness. And so I'm not saying that when you sit down to pray that this is what you're doing all day, every time. Go through these 12 things where you haven't prayed sufficiently and you can expect what you get. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it would be to your advantage to even make a study out of the Lord's Prayer with these things in mind. So we already heard last week that we need to be studying. How about just studying prayer? Connect the two. God help us. God help us. So as we walk out of here today, I want you to think about a statement that you could make about prayer. So you can look at prayer in a healthier way. The purpose of prayer is to get to know God. And in knowing God, my needs are met. The purpose of prayer is getting to know God, and in knowing God, my needs are met.